How many of you believe we're called to change lives? Amen. I want to greet all of our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries, and I'm glad that you are with us today. And let me just state this for those of you here, as well as all of our campuses that are watching us today. I'm pulling an audible this morning, so the notes that you have are not going to be what I preach. All right, I haven't done this in years, but I really felt this morning, over the past couple of days, actually, I've just been feeling it's going to go right in alignment with what the Changing Lives series is about, but it will not. Next week, I'll do the one on truth. We'll get into it, but today and for campuses as well, we're going to be doing that. They're going to bring up on my screen our quote that we do every week, and they're going to bring it up for you as well about our Bible. So would you get ready, grab your Bible or whatever it is that you've got the Word of God down. Loaded on, and they're going to help me up there in the sound booth. There we go. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same. Never, never, never. I'll never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe that today. Take your Bible and go to the book, the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Now, I did not say tobacco. Habakkuk. It's like one of the minor prophets right before you get to the end of the Old Testament there. And I really just want to read one passage to you today out of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 2. And you probably have heard this before, but here's what the scripture says. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it." Now, over the past several years, God has been doing wonderful things in and through Love and Truth Church. We have seen spectacular things happening. But one of the things that I've noticed over the past few years as well, how many of you know that if you're not careful, that things have a tendency to drift? You ever notice that? Whether it's your marriage, whether it's what you've established for your family, your business, whatever. And one of the things that I've noticed, in fact, it's called the Nehemiah principle when you begin to study it in Scripture, that every 26 days, you've got to recast vision or people are going to forget what it's all about. Nehemiah tells everybody here, we're going to build the wall. We're going to make great things happen. 26 days later, they're discouraged. They're beat down. He has to come back and share the vision all over again. And so I begin to think about that in the process of the passage that we're going to be looking at today, and then also on this series that I'm going to be doing, which are on the values of Love and Truth Church. And I thought, you know what? Our values come out of our vision. And so as I begin to think about that, I thought, here's what I really sense the Holy Spirit wanting us to do today. It's to kind of refocus, to come back to the place where we understand as a ministry what it is that God's called us to do and who we are and why we're distinct and what that means in each and every one of our lives. Now, Here's, and you all know it. We talk about it almost on a weekly basis, if not more than that. And our vision statement of it is this: changing lives. Come on, work with me. Don't act like you forgot it. Changing lives to change our world. That's the vision statement. In other words, that's the rallying cry of Love and Truth Church. And it's the thing that we do. It's the thing that we talk about. It's what we believe that God has called us to do. But as I think about that, there are some ingredients, or there are three main components that I believe that goes in to that vision. One of them is our mission statement. And most of you don't remember it, but let me just go over it again with you real quickly. They're going to bring it up on the screen. Here it is. Love and Truth Church is called to be a place of supernatural power, impacting the world, showing unconditional love, reaching the lost, and bringing all people to maturity in Jesus Christ through obedience to His holy Word. That's our mission. That's what we are rallying around and what God has called us to do. And our mission statement defines what business we are in, if I can use that terminology, but it also helps us in what our distinctive is as a local congregation. We are not called to be like any other church. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I thank God for every church in every town and every city that Love and Truth Church is in. But here's what I want you to understand. If we are like every other church on the block, then why do we exist? See, there's a reason that God has called this entity called Love and Truth Church together, and he has given us some distinctives. I'm going to talk about those today. In fact, I'm going to spend the majority of the time talking about the mission statement as we go through it, because it's that not only does it tell us our business and help us with our distinctives, but it also helps keep us focused. We know this is what we're called to do. We know this is what we are to be doing, and we are to continue to move in that. As we look at that, there's another aspect of the vision, though, beside the mission, is also the values. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on the next 5 weeks. I'm going to be talking about those values. Those values are truth, people. We're going to be talking about diversity. We're going to be talking about worship. And then we're going to be talking about empowerment, because it's through each and every one of those that we find ourselves coming to that place where that kind of keeps us, it's kind of our North Star. It's the thing that keeps us stable as we move forward. And so that's what I'm going to be spending 6 weeks on. But there's one more aspect I want to throw at you, and I know you're looking at me like, man, Pastor is going like a cannon today. He's just throwing everything at us, and I am, but I promise I might slow down. I may not, but I might, okay? The third aspect of the vision, beside the mission and the values, are the goals, and that's in our 2020 vision that we've laid out for you. I haven't talked about that a lot lately, but I'm going to take just a moment to share with all of our campuses, as well as here, kind of where we are. In fact, these cards are available, and we've had them for a long time, but some of you haven't picked one up yet, so get these today. Whatever campus you're at, hopefully they've got them as well, because on the back of this, we list out the things that we believe are the goals that God has called us to as a local congregation and as a ministry corporately to reach by the year 2020, by the end of the year 2020. Now, let me go through them real quickly for you and kind of show you a little snapshot of where we're at. The first one is that we want to plant 10 churches. Now, there's good news about this. We have already planted 3 churches. We planted the South Campus, we planted Dyersburg, we planted Cleveland, and we are in a pre-launch phase on planting a church in Corinth, Mississippi. So we've already got, right now, 4 of those 10. Come on, somebody ought to get excited about that. Hope your campuses are. It is already happening. The next thing that's listed there is that we want to train 100 ministers for ministry through our LTU, Love and Truth University. We are somewhere right now between 35 and 40 people that have already been trained out of the 100 that we're shooting for and where we're going. The next part is that we want to send 1,000 people on missions trip. By the end of this year, we will already be at 400 people having gone on a missions trip since 2011. All right? So are you seeing what I'm saying? This stuff is already happening. We just hadn't talked about it like we should have. We talk in there that we want thousands to be trained and activated in the local campuses and the local churches through our growth track process of bringing every people in and moving them to where God wants them to. Now here's the great number of that. We have already, this all came about in 2011. I don't have time to share all that with you, but in 2011, I was in Kenya. I heard the president of Kenya say one statement that clicked all of this stuff in my brain. I don't know how to explain that to you. It was one of those God moments, and all this came together. Here's what's fun about that. In all of our campuses, we have already taken 1,593 people through our growth track already from the year 2011 until now. But the best is yet to come. The next goal was 10,000 people to be saved by the year 2020. That's a great goal, and we're excited about that. Here's what I can share with you already at this moment. As of today, we have already had this number of people who have made a commitment to Christ in Love and Truth Church is 8,780 people. since 2011. That's not counting our foreign missions and all the churches that are being planted across the world. That's just here in the U.S. that has taken place. We talked about that we wanted 100,000 people to hear the gospel through all the different means, through television, other things that we're doing. And then the last one was to release millions of dollars into the kingdom of God to see the lost saved. And here's the fun part about that. Since 2011, just in missions giving alone, we're somewhere well over $2 million that has been given just in that season to missions. And so having said all of that, I think we're in a pretty good place, but here's what I know. If we're not careful, we'll forget where we're headed. And so we got to get back to making the main thing the main thing. So I want to talk to you about the mission today, and I want to spend the rest of the morning on that, and I want to share that with you. The mission statement of Love and Truth Church is this, is that Love and Truth Church is called to be a place of supernatural power, and I'm going to take a few minutes on each of these today, because here's what I know. I know with all of my heart that one of the distinctives of Love and Truth Ministries is that we believe that God is still moving on the earth today. And I don't say that in a denigrating way about anything or anybody, but I want you to understand how important it is. In fact, if you look at our mission statement, that is the top thing that we talk about, and this has been in place. Let me say this about our mission statement. Our mission statement was put into place about almost 25 years ago, and it has not changed. We have been living out this mission statement long before Love and Truth Jackson was ever founded or whatever. That was our mission statement years ago in Adamsville when I was pastoring there. That has not changed because here's what I know. People are looking for a church that believes that God is still alive and that God is still moving on the earth today. One of the distinctives that we have to hold to and that we've got to trumpet, if I can use that terminology, to the world is that we believe God is alive and that whatever he did in the book of Acts, that he is still doing today, that signs and wonders and miracles are still taking place across the earth and that God is still wanting that to happen in local churches today. I don't believe that God did all his good stuff 2,000 years ago. Come on. I don't believe, if the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then if he ever did it, he's still doing it. He has not changed what he did. I still believe that the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. I still believe that God gives words of wisdom and words of knowledge and the prophetic to people. I still believe that God is still a healer. I know. You know why you start preaching about healing and all kind of things start happening? But I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to preach my experience. I am going to preach the Word of God that says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. I believe that today. I believe that God is healing people. I believe today that that is something that people need. If we were to take a survey among our churches and among the world at large, we would find that most people are struggling with some kind of sickness, some kind of disease, some kind of physical infirmity in their body. But Jesus Christ took the stripes upon his back, and I am here to tell you today that he wants to heal you. He wants to set you free from that affliction. He wants to minister to you because that is the kind of God that he is. Listen, our world is looking for a spiritual reality. If you don't believe our world is looking for a spiritual reality, just look at everything that comes out of Hollywood and how much of it has a spiritual dynamic to it. People want something that is transcendent to their carnal life. They want something that is greater. And the church has got to come back to the place. And Love and Truth, I'm calling us back today to that place of saying, you know what? We are a church that believes in the supernatural power of the Almighty God and that we believe that he performs signs and wonders and miracles. And some of them we can't explain. And I don't care if I can explain it or not. That's why he said he's going to do wonders, and wonders just mean that I walk away going, man, I wonder about that. That's the kind of God he is. I mean, when he came walking on the water, those disciples were wondering what that was about, but that's who he is, and he is still doing that. And our world, listen to me, children of God, people who are saved, our world needs an encounter with a supernatural God. They need to come into contact with a God who is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that they can ask or think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that's working in the life of the believer. We ought to go out supercharged with the power of the Holy Spirit, and everywhere we go, we ought to be changing the environment of where we go as believers. Amen. In fact, let me say this to you. You ought to be so filled with the Holy Spirit that when you walk into a room, the devil gets nervous. Yeah. Amen. You ought to be living in such a place in your life that instead of the enemy tormenting you and waking you up early, that Satan sends to his imps and says, hey, let them sleep as long as they want to, because when they get up, all heaven starts coming apart, all right? And so the devil just doesn't want to mess with us because we've been filled. The Bible says this, Jesus in Acts 1 and 8 says, go and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. We have been given the power of the Holy Spirit, and that power has been given to us to make a difference in people's lives. And so we need to live a life. Listen, I challenge each and every one of you. I challenge those of you watching me today at all of our campuses or on television today. If you are a believer, I challenge you today to begin to live this exciting, abundant life that Jesus Christ has called us to. What would happen if we really begin to live an Acts experience, which everywhere we go, we turn the world upside down for the gospel of Jesus Christ? What would begin to happen if the church really began to demonstrate the power of the Holy Spirit in every institution upon the face of our earth? I tell you what would happen. Revival would come. An awakening would take place. We would begin to see the power of the Holy Spirit permeating the atmosphere and changing lives to change our world. That's what we've been called to do. And as a church, our mission is to live out the mandate here that we are to be a place of supernatural power. Listen to me carefully. We will never, ever, I'm going to be Charlton Heston. You're going to pluck this thing out of my dead, cold hands, boys and girls. We are going to be a spirit-filled, spirit-led, spirit-empowered church as long as I've got anything to do with it. And if you change it after I die, I'm coming back. The power of the Holy Spirit is the one thing, it's the one ingredient that the church lacks in America today. It is the one aspect that we have turned from, and we've been afraid to talk about it, and we've been afraid to see it. And yet, yes, I know, Pastor, don't you understand that, you know, on Sunday it's a bridge. I got it. But we still have to have the power of the Holy Spirit operating. It is the undercurrent. It is the heat of the stove that keeps people refreshed by the power of the Spirit of God. Even if they don't understand what's happening, they know when they walk through the doors, there's something different about this house because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We're not changing. We're not getting away from it. We're not walking away from it. But not only do we believe that we are a people who are called to have the supernatural power of God, the purpose of that is not so we can say we have the power of God. The purpose of that is so that we can impact the world, that we can make a difference, not just in West Tennessee and not just in a few campuses and a few states, but that we genuinely are called to make a difference throughout the world, that one of the mandates of Love and Truth Church is that we have been called to touch the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are doing that. We're seeing that happen. God is using this house, and he's using this ministry, and he's using this church to make a difference in Kenya and Uganda and the Congo and all of East Africa at this point. We're making a difference in the Philippines with the churches that are there. We're making a difference in Belize with the things that happen. We are right now ministering across the world, and that's what God's called us to do. And I want you to understand, we are called to do that as a ministry. It can't change. We can't get so focused on ourselves we forget that God has called us to touch the world. Amen? When the church loses its mission's emphasis, it loses its reason to exist. All right, let me give you Jesus on that. You didn't like that. Here's what Jesus said. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things as I have commanded you. What is he saying to us? He's saying, listen, church, you can't just get all about yourself. It can't become a country club that we're just paying dues to hang out with each other because we like each other. It is about touching the world with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that we've got to make a difference. And so that's why we talk about it, even in our goals, that 2020 vision, that we want to see people go to missions. If you haven't been on the mission field, you need to go. Boy, I should have got more amens than that. Some of you got nervous. You mean I got to go stay? I didn't say stay. All right? I'm one of those guys that I'm a sender. I'd rather send you than me go. But I go. Y'all know me. And I listen, don't come talking to me. I've done my time. All right? I've spent my time on the missions field, okay? So, but you got to understand, God's called. Here's what will happen to you. If you go on one mission trip, you'll come back and it'll change your paradigm of the world. It will impact you. It will infect you in a good way to come back and say, you know what? First of all, I didn't know how blessed I really was. I really didn't know how blessed America was. With all of our mess and all of our junk and all of our stuff, we are still so blessed of the Almighty God. It's not even funny to look at that. But we ought to be willing. We ought to be willing to get out of our comfort zone a little bit. I don't like to travel. It's the one thing, my wife and I have two or three things we don't agree about, and that's one of the greatest ones. I hate traveling. I don't like spending 20-plus hours on a plane. We won't talk about that, but I just don't like that. But you know what? Sometimes you got to get out of your comfort zone and go some places and do some things and be a part of a different culture to make a difference in people's lives. And you say, well, Pastor, you know, all we did was, we held some babies and we went to an orphanage and we did this. Listen, you don't know what that one moment in somebody's life means for eternity. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a singer. You may not do anything but walk and give somebody a cup of cold water, but the Bible says that when you do that, that you get a reward from heaven. We've got to learn to do that. We've got to learn to live outside of ourselves and outside of our comfort zone. So we're called to impact the world. We're called to show unconditional love. And in fact, the showing of unconditional love and reaching the lost kind of go hand in hand. And I want to slow down for a moment here and talk to you. Because the one thing that I've found with the church is that the church can be some of the meanest, most critical people I've ever been around. You don't have to agree with that, but it's my opinion. Okay, it's all it is. It's my opinion. But my opinion is I've been around it for a long time. And here's what I found about most church people. Most church people are some of the most hypocritical. You say, why do you say that? Here's why I say that. Because we will judge somebody for something they're doing while we got something. In fact, again, I think Jesus talked about that. Jesus said, what are you doing talking about somebody who's got a little splinter in their eye when you got a 2x4 sticking out of yours? Right? And the church, listen to me, the church has had the tendency through the years to say, now, if you'll get your act together, you'll get straightened up, and you'll do everything that's right, then you'll be welcome in our church. And here's what I want to say, and I want to boldly proclaim it today to every campus, to everybody that watches on television. Love and Truth Church is not for perfect people. Amen. Love and Truth Church is all about showing unconditional love. Whoever you are, those of you who are listening to me today, those of you who are here today or one of our campuses today, and you may just have showed up for your very first time and you look at your life and you say, I got all this stuff. You are exactly the reason we exist. The purpose for Love and Truth Ministries is not to build buildings. I don't care another thing about building another building. Now, I probably will, but I don't care anything about it. I don't get excited about building buildings for the sake of building buildings. I get excited about building buildings because that's how we reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we are called to show unconditional love. Do you understand what that means? That means no matter who they are, no matter what their lifestyle, let me say that again, no matter what their lifestyle is, that the church is to love them and to accept them. And the church has a tendency, we kind of like to pick our sinners. Come on. You know I'm telling the truth. We kind of like, we got certain sins that are okay. If you're a racist, we'll take you. Oh, boy, it just got quiet in the house. Church is filled with racists. Because that's kind of one of those acceptable sins, because it's kind of hidden, and we just talk about it among the other racist people we hang out with. And racism is not just one color, by the way. Let me just. If you don't like me because I'm white today, you're in trouble. First of all, I'm African-American, so get over it, all right? All right? You knew I was going there, right? But you know, if you look at somebody because of their skin color, because of their ethnic background or whatever, and you don't like them and you don't love them, that's racism and it's wrong. And I'm just going to say that publicly, but the church has a tendency to tolerate that. We'll tolerate gossips. We'll tolerate liars. But now, if you're messing around, if you're homosexual or if you're committing adultery, then that's one of those big sins. And yet, when I study Scripture, am I messing with us too much? Well, when I study Scripture, I find that sin is sin. That there aren't acceptable sins and not acceptable sins. That God just says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See, the purpose and the mission of Love and Truth Church is to love people. Kind of the reason the name is what it is. Every once in a while, I think about changing the name. I think, maybe we ought to get, it's kind of, maybe the name's getting a little dated. But every time I start thinking about it, I think, no, wait a minute. People need to know they're loved. Above everything else, people need to know they're loved. And so that's what we talk about. That's the one aspect as we look at this today, ladies and gentlemen, that I want you to understand that our mission keeps us focused on people. It keeps us loving people. Now, I want to tell you, when you love people like that, the unsaved, it gets messy. Church is messy when you bring people in from all different backgrounds and lifestyles. And that's why a lot of churches don't want that. A lot of churches are museums. They've got petrified saints. Here is Saint so-and-so. She taught the third grade for 800 years. Right? But man, living organisms mess things up. You ever had your house all together and then bring in kids? I mean, in 30 seconds, they can destroy a whole day's work. Right? One of my favorite scriptures, Solomon says this, the wisest man who ever lived said, where there are no ox, the stall is clean. But he goes on, do I need to explain that to y'all? You got it? Where there are no ox, the stall is clean. But he goes on to say, but strength comes from the ox. So you got to put up with a little mess. I'll keep it PG. You got... Now, where'd your mind go? God forgive you. We've got to understand that you got to put up with the mess to reach people for Jesus Christ. That the church, well, let me just say, again, I'm talking to us today. Love and Truth Ministries, we are called to love messed up people, to reach them, and to bring them into obedience. That's what Jesus said, making disciples, bringing them to maturity in Jesus Christ through obedience to His holy word. Let me say this to you. I want you to come no matter who you are, no matter what your mess is, but I don't want you to stay there. I don't want you to continue. In fact, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And then he comes back in the next verse and he says, God forbid. Who are we, if we're dead to sin, how can we continue to live any longer there in it? So here's my take on that. Is that Jesus' arms are wide open, but when you come to Jesus, he starts tinkering with you. He starts changing some things. He starts talking to you about some areas of your life. And I don't know about you. Maybe I'm the only one. But here's what I found out is about the time I think I got one thing figured out, then he starts showing me something else I didn't even know I had. Amen. Am I the only one? It's like, okay, man, if I can get this, have you ever said this? If I can get this one thing, am I the only one who made that dumb comment? If I can just get this one problem handled, man, it'll just be smooth sailing. And so he works with me. Aren't you glad he's patient? He's loving. He's kind. Those of you who don't know him today, I want to tell you, he is not a mean God. He's not a hateful God. He's not a God who's out to get you. He's a God who loves you more than anyone or anything has ever loved you in your life. And what's wonderful about that is he continues to do that. The Bible says that his mercies are new every morning. Every day that you get up, there's mercy. That is so overwhelming to me to know that his mercy is there. When I mess up, you know, the scripture says, if we sin, I've changed that. Am I the only one? I did away with if and just put in there when. When I sin, there's an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who ever lives to make intercession for us. That's what we're called to do. That's what Love and Truth Ministries is about. That's been the heartbeat of this ministry for 30 plus years. Is that God has called us to be a distinct entity upon this earth. We're not supposed to be like anybody else. We're not like any other church, and I don't care to be like any other church. We are who we are. It's our distinctives that make us important to the kingdom. Wouldn't it be horrible if we were all just alike? No, think about it. Think about if everybody in your world was just like you. Would that not be a scary thought? Right? And so God puts churches in cities and in regions, and he says, I'm going to raise up this church because this is what this church needs to be. And throughout the years, God has blessed us to make a difference in lives. And I even still remember about the founding of the Jackson campus, that I don't hear God speak in an audible voice, but I know when the Holy Spirit speaks. And the Lord told me to come to Jackson, and I didn't want to come to Jackson. I had finally come to the place that I said, I'm going to spend the rest of my life in Adamsville pastoring. And God said, no, here's what I want you to do. And I know that I heard the Lord say, if you'll go to Jackson and you will have a balance of word and worship, I'll bring people. And when I talk about worship, I'm not just talking about what we do with the band. I'm talking about the entirety of the aspect of coming together as a local body. And what I've seen happen, not just here, but now as we have all the campuses and all the things that are happening, what I've seen is how God takes lives that sometimes are so devastated and so messed up. In fact, if you knew the story of some of the people sitting around you, it'd freak you out. Because all you see is the nice prettiness they put on for Sunday. You don't know where God brought them from. You don't know how that Love and Truth Church has impacted their life. Just recently was with somebody, and they just started sharing, and we had an hour or so together, and they were sharing their story, and I'm just sitting there listening as they're just talking about their story and how that Love and Truth Church has so impacted their life. And I thought, you know what? That's what it's all about. It's about people who don't have it together coming to a God who created everything and allowing his Spirit to work in us, to conform us to his image and to his likeness. Before I close today, let me say this to you. If you're listening to me today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the purpose of Love and Truth Church is you. You're the reason we exist. It's not for those of us who are saved. It's for those who are yet to come into fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And again, I want to say to you today, if you don't know him, you're missing out on the greatest experience of your life. God loves you, and he cares for you. So over the next several weeks, I'm going to be talking about the values that kind of keep us on that. It's kind of a compass to us. It keeps us in that true north that we make sure everything is stable in this house. But today I just wanted to focus us back and say, look, this is who we are. This is who God called us.